Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 of Chicago, live here with a live studio audience. All right. Hope you survived that. And we are off to an exciting new week. This past week, we had a most exciting return to our weekly Torah learning in downtown Chicago at our incredible center in downtown. It's just a great center. If you haven't seen it, you got to come out and see it. It's incredible. And not only did we come back to our weekly Torah learning, we are returning this coming week for our Shabbos in the city. Now, it's hard to fathom, but since November 2023 through May 2023, we have had 248 individual, unique young professionals who have come to those seven Shabbos programs, and many of them came back several times. It is absolutely incredible what our downtown center, the Almighty, has allowed it to be a vehicle, a vessel for incredible, incredible Jews. And we're early in the week. We're already basically more than half full for our Shabbos this coming weekend. So if you know any young professionals who would like to connect with a warm and positive, growth-oriented, successful group of Jewish young professionals, this coming Shabbos is a great way to do that. Project613.com/Shabbos in the city. Shabbos in the city. Okay, Shabbos in the city. Or just reach out to me and would love to connect you to an incredible Shabbos. Now, this past week, I also had an incredible privilege and honor of meeting one of the great rabbis of our generation. And his name is Rabbi Shlomo Kanievsky, and it might sound very familiar to many of you, others possibly not, but his father was the late, great Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who was the undisputed heavyweight Torah champion of the last generation. And Rabbi Shlomo is his oldest son, I believe, not his oldest child, but his oldest son. And he was in for a simcha, for a wedding and various other activities. And he happened to be davening at the shul. I daven in the morning, Makor HaChaim. And people were able to come up to him and ask him questions, get a blessing. And I asked him. I said, I involve myself in Jewish outreach and teaching people who do not or did not have the benefit of a robust Jewish education growing up, or not a compelling one at least. And I asked him, what should I tell them? What should my message be to them now in light of the October 7th coming up on a year, in light of the crazy war that's going on, the breakdown, all the fissuring in Israeli society and the incredible levels of assimilation here in America? What should be my main message? And without flinching, without a pause, he said that the main message, and I'll translate, needs to be emuna ubetachon, which means faith and trust. Faith, now we're gonna define these terms, but emuna is translated as faith, bitachon is trust. The commentators explain that the general idea of having faith in God is called emuna, and the practical implementation of that, when one faces life challenges and implements that faith, that's called bitachon. Bitachon is security. Literally, bitachon is security in security teams, for example, in Hebrew. Okay, so emunah is the theory and bitachon is the practice. At least that's how the Ramban, Nachmanides, explains it, as others do as well. But what does that basically mean? It basically means that Hashem is running the world. If we understand it or not, Hashem is running the world. He's in control. He's the boss. He can do whatever he wants. He is pitching the circumstances of life to us, and we are the batters facing those circumstances. He is in control, if we understand it or not. And that's what he said. I would like to add, and we're going to see as we go on, that not only is he in control, if we understand it or not, but that everything that Hashem does for us is good. It's lehetiv, to do good for others. That is the great faith of what it means to be a Jew of faith. All right, so now, but let's take a deep dive over here into defining terms. That's very nice. It sounds good. Hashem's running the world. Okay, but obviously there's some questions that crop up. And we really need to understand how Judaism defines faith vis-a-vis other religions. Now, if you look up the dictionary definition of faith, right? What's it going to say? Okay, you get 2 seconds. Okay, dictionary on your iPhone. It comes up versions of blind faith. Basically, chop your head off and just, I believe. You know, that's it. That's what faith is. Okay, it has nothing to do with facts or proof. It is totally without any moorings in truth or truth and facts and truthful items have no real relevance to it. Faith is totally illogical and nothing to do with it. It's total blind faith. Now, we have a problem here. The problem is significant. Because if that's what faith is, and there's nothing rooted in reality or in truth, then why believe in one faith over the other? Seriously, if nothing is based on truth or reality, then why believe in one religion over the other? Why have Jews for the last 2,000 years gone through fire and water and inquisition and torture and expulsion and starvation and economic and governmental persecution? Why do it? If what we stand for, it's all just blind faith, so then pick that blind faith. The inquisitor comes to the knocking of the door and says, oh yes, I believe in the other religion. Why? You know, if it's all just blind faith, so how do you compare one is better than the other? Well, this blind faith is older than that blind faith, but it's all blind faith. And yet on the other end of the equation, if we know something, if we know that 2 + 2 = 4, there's no room to have faith that 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 is factually 4. I know that it is true. And so therefore, I don't need to say I believe that 2 + 2 = 4. I could say I know that 2 + 2 = 4. And so we are in a predicament over here. Because on the one hand, if faith has nothing to do with truth, then I have no compelling reason to be Jewish more than anything else. By the way, you have to finish the end of the podcast. There is an answer that is. And on the other hand, if it's something that I can know, then that's knowledge and that's not faith. And so we're in a pickle. And so now what we need to do is to define what is this concept called emunah. And emunah, if I could translate it in English, is not faith, but rather faithfulness, loyalty, steadfastness. In fact, an uman is an artist. And just as an artist is faithful to his or her craft, so too someone with emunah is faithful, is loyal, is allegiant to the source of it all, and that is the Almighty. And here's the trick. Here is the key to understanding this. To whom or to what are we faithful? And the emunah that we have, the faithfulness that we have, is that we are faithful to that which we know is true. And here is where we are anchored in truth. We are anchored in reality. We are anchored in experiential truth. 1000% truth. And where did that truth come down? On Mount Sinai. When the Almighty revealed himself in front of 3 million Jews and gave over the Ten Commandments to the Jewish people. He drove a stake into reality, drove a stake into the ground. That is the truth, that God exists, and not only that he exists, he's involved in our lives, and he wants things from us, and we can have a relationship. He wants a relationship with him. And furthermore, that we at that point in history became truly the chosen people. We are the PR agents of the CEO of the universe. That is our job, and we got that job at Sinai. We were chosen for it before, and that's the Egypt story. But ultimately, it was concretized at Mount Sinai that he gave us his law and his Torah, and we are its purveyors. And we need to be the divine beacon of truth to the world. That's what was established in fact at Mount Sinai 3,336 years ago in 1312 BCE. And so, when a Jew remains faithful to the Almighty, it means that there is darkness, there is uncertainty, there are persecutions and inquisitions and executions and expulsions and Auschwitz and Dachau and Khmelnytsky and can I keep going? And October 7th, there are moments of darkness that a Jew potentially could call into question. Is this really true? Are we really the chosen people when we're getting sliced and diced and murdered and mutilated? That's a point of darkness. That's a point of lack of clarity. And what is our emunah? We are faithful to the knowledge that we are the chosen people, that the Almighty has not forgotten us, and that everything that we are going through, albeit painful, is a purpose. There is a purpose. There's a method to the madness. There's a purpose to the pain. And that's what it means to be a believing Jew, is that no matter how many tears we shed over the generations, there's a meaning, there's a purpose to it, that ultimately the final laugh of history will be our laugh of triumph when the world recognizes Hashem is one and his name is one. And that is our job, to be the purveyors of that, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how desperate it gets. We believe, we are faithful to the knowledge that the Almighty exists, wants a relationship with us, and ultimately controls everything in the world. Okay? So that is how we, quote unquote, thread the needle. That it's not cutting your head off. I believe. That's not Jewish faith. And yet, on the other hand, it's not all scientific fact, because then there's no point of uncertainty. But we are faithful to that which we know is true, that God is a loving God and a good God. And he only does things that are good for us, even though I may not understand it at the time. Now, how does this impact my life? Well, in many ways. I'll share with you a few. The first is an unbelievably unsettling idea to people who were raised with American values, is that I am not in control of the outcome of my actions. I am in control of only the effort. I can put in my best effort, and God wants that. But ultimately, the outcome of the effort is in the hands of the Almighty. If the Almighty wants the business deal to go through, it'll go through. I did all the efforts in the spreadsheets and the right networking and the financing and this, that, and the other. Great. The Almighty controls the outcome. And therefore, we are liberated that even though we might be disappointed that the results did not go the way that we wanted them to, I believe I am faithful to the knowledge that the Almighty only does that which is good for me. And so therefore, we can go through our business life, we can go through our lives of, you know, when relationships work out or don't work, I tried so hard in this relationship and it did not work out. We do not control the outcome. It is incredibly liberating. By the way, we experience this every Shabbos. We stop on Friday afternoon because we recognize that I'm not in control of the outcome. And if I work for 24/7, that means that I believe that I am in control of everything. The fact that I can stop for 25 hours indicates that I know that I'm not in control. And the Almighty is in control of the outcome. This does not excuse laziness. We have to work hard. We have to do our due diligence. And we have to push the pedal to the metal. But ultimately, we know that the Almighty is in charge of the outcome. Second, I'm not alone. I am not alone. We are in a depressed generation. We're in a lonely generation. But once you know that the Almighty is with you and He loves you, then even in the times of darkness, that you're faithful to that which you know is true, that the Almighty revealed Himself to us on Sinai and has been watching over and protecting us for generations until now, that He loves every single Jew, and you are never alone. It's worth listening to this podcast just for that, to internalize that. And three, the Chazon Ish said, someone who understands the light of lights, it was a poetic, probably a very deep Kabbalistic idea, that there is no place for depression at all. For depression. Doesn't mean you can't be sad. It doesn't mean that you cannot mourn something that you lose or lost, God forbid, a close relative or anything like that, or a friend. It's not saying not to be to have mourning, but rather there is no room. Someone who understands life can never be depressed, because depressed means I can't act, I can't move, I am done. That is incongruous with a person who has emunah, who is faithful to that which we know is true. There are so many stories from October 7th. About acts of faith and faithfulness. Roy Asaroff and his wife Yona. These are actually two of the most famous people who survived the Nova festival. And they got out of there as soon as they could. And they were driving through teams of terrorists shooting at their car. And he put his wife's head down. And his head was down there driving blindly. They were saying Shema Yisrael the entire time. For hours in their escape out, they were saying Shema. We also heard Olami had a female soldier who spoke to our group. It was unbelievable. And she said, and she's not a quote-unquote religious girl, but she was on the ground pretending to be dead for 6 hours on the ground at Nova, just saying Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. I believe in you, Hashem. I believe in you, Hashem. And then you have to hear this story of Yagil Yaakov, who is a 13-year-old who was released from Hamas captivity after 52 days. Listen to this. Unbelievable. Published September 15th, 2024. This was yesterday in Israel National News, Arut Sheva. Unbelievable. He says this. He about his time in captivity, quote, when I am often asked what is my truest connection with God, I answer that all that kept me going in captivity was the belief that I was not alone, that I had someone who was with me, who, although he did not protect me from being kidnapped, but he definitely protected me there during those hours in captivity, Yaakov wrote. Meaning, Yaakov said, He could have saved me from being captive, but he didn't. But he did save me in captivity. He added, this is called divine providence, hashgacha pratit. I really think that I always felt divine providence around me. I always felt him with me, protecting me from every trouble and obstacle. This is a 13-year-old kid. When I came back, I immediately told everyone that I wanted to start wearing a kippah and tzitzit, and everyone laughed at me. They thought I was crazy. What has that got to do with anything now? I told them I was thinking about it all the time I was in captivity. He concluded, Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. You chose me to show the correct way, and you will not regret this. I love you, Tata, Abba, Father in heaven. and I'm sure that you are trying to protect the other hostages who are still there. This is a 13-year-old boy. Unbelievable. The words of the prophets. I know you're with me. Hashem, I know that you are with me. That is the language of faithfulness, of emunah, of the Jews throughout generations. I am faithful to that which I know is true. The Almighty is with us, even in the darkest times. Now, if you've seen the image of the podcast, you'll see a Cub fan. So this is always the question. Where does the Cub fan come out? Is it a blind faith? Is it a non-Jewish blind faith? Or does a Cub fan qualify for emunah? Okay, so how would it work? So if the Cubs have any real justification and track record for winning the World Series, then you could possibly say we're faithful to that which we know is true, that the Cubs are going to win. I mean, before 2016, when I gave these ideas over, I would say it's totally blind faith. So maybe now there's a small room to say that they're reliable, but no, I don't think they're going to make the wild card. But even though they have provided us with much entertainment this season, I still think that a Cub fan falls into the category of blind faith and not true Jewish faith. Okay, so I wanted to end on a little bit of a light note and a big shout out to all of our wonderful Cub fans out there. All right, everyone, have an amazing week. We are, again, looking forward to the Shabbos in the city. May this, the words that we shared on this podcast, bring us to higher levels of emunah, faithfulness, and that which we know is true. The Almighty loves us as we enter the season coming up to Rosh Hashanah. May we all be strengthened in this incredible area to believe in the Almighty. And we'll see you again next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.